Coming up on this edition of the Golf Digest Fantasy Fix podcast, we break down the Memorial. Welcome back to the Golf Digest Fantasy Fix podcast. I'm Alex Myers, and as always, I'm joined by Joel Beal. Although today Joel is not in studio, he is actually at the Ocean Course in Kiawah. Joel, how's it going down there?
You know, I survived. I doubled the first hole, and I thought this is going to be a wrong round, but I made it out unscathed. I'm definitely getting some looks from yelling into my phone in the parking lot, but you know what? Anything for the podcast, you know?
Anything. Hey, I remember there's a local rule down there. You get a mulligan off the first tee. Did you not do that? Did you not hear about that?
I was not afforded.
Ooh,
for it.
Tough. Well, that could have probably helped your score. But how was the wind?
Not that bad, actually. Yeah. It was the first few holes were bad, but I mean it was only a one club wind, and you know the caddy was saying there's been times where it's a 3 or 4 club wind depending on the season. So mm-hmm. I definitely lucked out in terms of that. And it's actually a very playable course. I was very impressed, and it was a lot of fun.
Wow, a lot of fun. You don't hear, I mean, spectacular, but you always hear about how tough the Ocean Course is. Not usually
well,
fun,
you know, I always look at the positive side of life, Alex.
You
like
do,
so.
You do. That's true. Well, looking at the positive side, last week, one of my picks, Kevin Kisner, came through and won at Colonial. Of course, my other big pick, Zach Johnson, had a bit of a breakdown on Saturday. took all his clubs out of his bag when he was put on the clock for slow play, so we won't. He didn't do as well as I thought, but yeah, certainly Kevin Kisner. And Joel, I know we talked a bunch about Jordan Spieth making that putter switch and then switching back. Looks like going back to the old putter worked out for him.
Yeah, he finished, I believe, T7 in strokes gained putting. I really just had a little bit of a rough Saturday there with the short spot stick, but other than that, yeah, the short game was back to form what we saw last year in 2015. Sometimes these guys just need a little bit of a little bit of change of scenery. Mm-hmm. And clearly, for Spieth, you kind of heard him after his round that conviction is back, and really the confidence is not. You know, you can give most of these guys any different putter and give them a little bit of time to adjust, and they'll start thinking it. But it's really the mental game when it comes to the putting. And yeah, the fact that Spieth, he really wasn't even hit the ball that well, and the fact that he still finished just a stroke back. Of Kisner, really, it's got to be a good sign only for this week with the U.S. Open coming down the stretch in 2 weeks. So, yeah, I think those worries about Spieth and the slump, I think we can put those to bed.
Yeah, no, I think so. And I know we both saw the comment he had about Friday being his most important round because it got him into the weekend, and now then he had a nice weekend, needed a nice finish after those back-to-back missed cuts. You mentioned he's got the U.S. Open in a couple weeks. Obviously, this is a huge week, the Memorial. It's one of the biggest non-major events. But certainly, a guy like Jordan Spieth, who's already won a couple majors, his eye is really on those major championships, and he needs to know he's in form heading into the last three of the year. So with that, we will turn our attention to the Memorial. Muirfield Village is another course I know, Joel, that you are pretty familiar with. What's your take on that course? It's obviously one of the favorite courses of the PGA Tour pros.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a longer track. Mm-hmm. Fairly open, actually, off the tee. They do have some penal rough. In terms of trees, there's not a lot there for guys to get in trouble. There is water on, I believe, 11 of the holes, so that's where guys can make the big numbers. But it's a risk reward course. They're like 14 and 15. You guys can really, the eagles can be had, but if you're a little bit off your game, man, you're looking at bogey, if not worse. I think that's why a lot of guys like playing it. It rewards the good shots, and if you're just a little off, you're looking at a big number. And I think it also speaks to, despite the length of Muirfield Village, you kind of look across the board. Someone like William McGirt, David Lingworth, it's not just big mm-hmm. hitters that perform well here. So it kind of speaks to a lot of different aspects of the game, which kind of, I think, is why it's such a great course.
Sure. I mean, you mentioned some of those winners, but of course, the biggest winner here, Tiger Woods, is not playing. Obviously, bad news for him on Monday morning. What did you make of the whole arrest for DUI with Tiger?
Well, especially after reading their police report that came out Tuesday morning. Mm-hmm. You're just thankful that not only that Woods is okay, but that no one else got injured.
That's right. That's right.
you hate to speculate of what's going on behind the scenes, so we'll try to stay away from that. You just really hope that the guy gets, at this point, golf is ancillary. You just hope he kind of gets his life, not only life, but just get his frame of mind back in a healthy state. For as divisive of a figure as Tiger Woods has been the past 7 or 8 years, it sounds like a lot of people were just really bummed out and sad and really feel for the guy. So you definitely, you know, are sending your wishes and prayers to him. Again, in terms of the fact that he was that out of it without having any alcohol in your system, it really makes you worry. And yeah, it's you hate to even speculate on any type of golf forecast because that seems so far away from the priority list at the moment. So we really just wish him the best.
Yeah, you're right. But it's interesting because just last week he finally gives us an update. He says he's feeling as good as he has in years, and everything's going great, although he can't twist for another couple months, whatever that means. So you kind of, you know, you had this kind of positive news, now this negative news. You're right, though. It could have been much, much worse when you hear that report that he was asleep at the wheel. Fortunately, no one was hurt. Of course, it probably helped that it was 3 a.m. and, you know, nobody was out there. But, you know, I bring him up because obviously he's won here so many times in this event, but you know, Jack Nicklaus, the tournament host, is going to climb up into that TV booth on the weekend, be up there for a bunch of time, and they're going to ask him about Tiger. And they're going to ask him, you know, what he thinks, and he's going to say, oh, I hope he gets back. And they're going to say, do you think he can still break your record? And he's going to say, yeah, I still think he can do it. You know, it's going to be the same song and dance. So he is going to be in the news through this weekend, even though he's not anywhere near the tournament. But I agree.
Not only that as well, but in terms of guys who he's close with, arguably Tiger's protege is Jason Day, who's almost the de facto host living.
That's right.
Living in Columbus, so you know that's going to come up as well. And obviously, all the players, anytime they get interviewed this week, it's going to be brought up. So it's definitely over. Definitely a shadow. It's really just sad. And again, you just kind of hope for the best right now. And honestly, you hate to again look forward at all, just because there's still a lot of unanswered questions. So you hope that everything turns out okay.
Yep. No, you're right. And as we record this now on early Tuesday afternoon, we haven't heard a lot of players weigh in yet, but you're right. They will all be asked about him as they come in for their pre-tournament press conferences and as they wrap up their rounds. We will hear from, I'm sure, Jason Day and Jordan Spieth and all those guys on Tiger as the week goes on. But right now, we're just hoping he can get things corrected going forward. All right, no more Tiger talk. Let's move on to the tournament itself. Joel, I'll let you start, as always. Who's your top pick this week?
The first one for me is Hideki Matsuyama, which is almost a bit of a wild card given the stature of the player in question. After that blazing start in the fall, and then he also won in Phoenix in February, Matsuyama's just been off the grid. He has not played well. 0 top tens, I believe, since winning in Phoenix. However, he is a former winner at Muirfield. Not only that, he also has a T5 to his name as well. Did miss the cut last year, but honestly, his game really wasn't that great at that moment. I think this is one of those courses, though, that guys have familiarity with. If you're looking for a juncture to kind of spur Matsuyama back out of this funk, I think Muirfield Village, especially kind of looking for the rest of the summer, if you think Matsuyama is going to be an Aaron Hills pick, you got to see it at some point before heading to the U.S. Open. So I think this is where that kind of improvement comes from. I'm going with Matsuyama.
Yeah, it is amazing. A few months ago, we couldn't shut up about this guy and you know, it's not a matter of if, but when he's going to win the majors and this and that. And, you know, he's still only 25. And of course he's still had an amazing season. It just so happens it's all front loaded so far, but certainly, yeah, he's got plenty of time. He's going to figure this out. And you mentioned, this is a great course for him to get straightened out. Another guy you mentioned is Jason Day, and he's got one of the oddest track records here. He's played 8 times. You mentioned he lives in Columbus. This is a home game for him. He's kind of adopted the area. You know, he's a big Cleveland Cavs fan. We all remember his wife getting run over by LeBron James at a game a couple years ago. And he's a big Ohio State fan and all that. But for some reason, he has been terrible at Muirfield Village. In 8 attempts, he has never finished in the top 25. However, finished T27 last year, and that included a really rough final round when he kind of plummeted out of contention. It's been a tough year for him this year, obviously, with his mom getting diagnosed with cancer, him having to withdraw from a couple events. But he finally really got it going at the Byron Nelson a couple weeks ago, lost in a playoff to Billy Horschel. I think he's finally ready to really get his season started. And again, even though he doesn't have a good track record here, I just feel like the vibes of being home and everything will help him as he uses this, obviously, for a tune-up before the U.S. Open.
I think sometimes, too, it takes a while for guys playing in their own backyard to get accustomed. I think we see that with Jordan Spieth at the Byron Nelson. Just because it's in your backyard doesn't mean you're necessarily going to play well. It takes there's a lot of things off the course, obligations you have to do when you're playing in your hometown. So Day now kind of at his age, he's had a couple of rodeos doing this. I think you'll see him get accustomed to it. And honestly, 2017 has been such a bizarre year. You would think if there would be a time for a turnaround. And in fact, the last time we saw Day, he was kind of back on form. I'm with you. I think you'll see a carryover of what we saw at TPC Four Seasons 2 weeks ago. Yeah, I think Day's a good bet for it. Top 10 this week.
All right, moving on. Who's next for you?
Well, speaking of hot, I'm sticking with Kevin Kisner, who, you know, you got him last week.
Yeah, I'll let you take him.
It was a great pick. That's what you do, Al. Nothing but winners from you. But,
that's right.
Kisner doesn't have a lot, big track record here. He did have a top 10 just 2 years ago. But we kind of earlier talked about how Muirfield speaks a lot of things. The one thing you do look across the board, you really have to be on your game with putting as well as around the green. That's something Kisner does almost better than anyone on tour. He ranks top 5 in strokes gained putting this year. And he's just so accurate off the tee that really the lack of distance he has, it's kind of negated by the fact that he's in the fairway every time. He's actually pretty relatively cheap even after his win on the Daily Fantasy League. So if you're looking for a middle-tier guy, I think Kisner's a very solid pick.
Yeah, and, you know, what a huge win for him. He moved into the top 25 of the official World Golf ranking, into the top 10 of the FedEx Cup point list. He's basically a lock now to make the President's Cup team. So
yeah, I believe he's fourth right now in the President's Cup standing. So, I mean, you know, obviously a lot of it to go, but, yeah, even if he doesn't, especially the way he played in the Zurich Classic, the team event, and, you know, obviously has some parallels to the President's Cup. He's just a grinder. I don't know why. I can't foresee him not being on the team at Liberty National this fall.
Yeah. Well, another guy who we expect to be on the team, he hasn't had the best of seasons for him, but he has a terrific track record at Muirfield Village, and that's Matt Kuchar. And I know you and I both did some digging into Kuchar's statistics along with Ryan Harrington. We tried to uncover this whole, is Kuchar-ing a real thing? Does Matt Kuchar produce more backdoor top tens than a typical PGA Tour pro? And, you know, the results were kind of mixed. In the last two seasons, he has. His percentage was much higher than kind of the typical percentage. But as we went back into his career when he was winning more and everything else, it did kind of regress to the mean there. But what did you think about that whole study?
Not only that, then he basically ran out of holes. He almost pulled a Kuchar over the weekend.
Oh, exactly. And I was waiting for that. Yeah, T12. He missed by one shot of doing it again.
It is funny because initially when we began the study, I thought, okay, this is going to be fun, but I thought it was more perception than reality. Yet the last 2 years, the guy really does, when he's out of it on Sunday, comes back. But the only thing I want to express is that, and I think we did an okay job in the article of mentioning this, but I think he gets a bad rap for this. I mean, what do you expect the guy to do? You know, I'd rather have that than a guy just roll over and drag it done as quick as possible and get
exactly
out. He's still making bank, and it's a phenomenon. It's a funny phenomenon, but it is a phenomenon, and it is kind of nice to see that, yeah, sometimes the stats do back up what our eyes see. So, yeah,
yeah.
And honestly, I hope he probably didn't read it because, you know, he doesn't know how the World Wide Web, if he likes to say it, works. But hopefully someone gives that article to Kuchar, and I'd like to hear his thoughts on it.
Yeah. No, and you mentioned it's not a bad thing, and especially if you have him on your fantasy team. I mean, it doesn't matter. What a T9 is a T9, and those checks he's cashing are real. So no complaints from him, and it is a funny thing that it does seem like he does that a lot. But at Muirfield, he has been a front runner a lot of times. He 7 top tens in his last 9 trips, including a win and a runner up. So, although I think we were both surprised that he only has 3 top tens so far this year, I'd be surprised if he's not on that first page of the leaderboard by the end of the week.
Yeah, he really got a rough start in the spring, early winter. But yeah, since the spring, he's been a lot better. And the fact that he's doing it at his age, I think we tend to think Kuchar's a little bit younger than he really is. fact that he's still out there grinding as a top 30 player, it's really a testament to his game and how sound he is in all aspects of it.
Yeah. All right, moving along, next pick.
Third guy is Patrick Reed, who, man, just a month ago we were talking about what's going on with Reed. And, you know, since the Ryder Cup, he was all over the place. Finally starting to turn the corner. We're not seeing the top fives like we did, your top tens of the year ago, but he does have four top 25s coming into Muirfield Village. And more importantly, for a guy who doesn't seem to fit the archetype of a Memorial winner, finished in the top 10 here last year, comes in really hitting his irons well. And as we kind of looked at a few weeks ago, what was causing his issues, it was really the short game and around the green, and he's kind of got that back on track. He's top 15 in that area since, I believe, since May started. So Reed's a guy who, again, for as big of a name he is, he's really going on the radar, and you can have him for a good price in Bailey Fantasy League. I'm not saying he's necessarily a favorite, but I think he's a pretty good dark horse. So Patrick Reed's a guy I think needs to be in your lineup.
I'm going to go with another dark horse, and it's another Aussie, and that's Mark Leishman, who's having a really nice season. Obviously, he won at Bay Hill, taking the Arnold Palmer Invitational, winning that really sweet red cardigan. But he also has eight top 25s and 14 starts. So, I mean, you know, it's pretty much every week you can pencil him making it in the top 25. At Muirfield, he's been in the 60s, six of his past eight rounds, T5, T11 the last 2 years. So, you know, we're talking about President's Cup. He's a guy who the U.S. will see, I'm sure, on the international side. So Mark Leishman, you know, pretty big hitter. You mentioned it's a pretty big course. I just like the way it sets up for him this week.
Yeah, that international team's looking mighty formidable coming into Liberty National this fall. This could be one of the – I think they've only won, internationals once
one
in the
time.
Competition?
One win and one tie, yeah.
This could be number two this year.
Interesting.
That's saying something, given how good the Americans are playing right now. But,
yeah,
man, across the board, they're about as deep as the internationals have ever been.
Yeah.
So something to watch for a tournament that's always kind of the ugly stepsister to the Ryder Cup. I think this is going to be a really good President's Cup this fall.
On that note, I will make my fourth pick before yours, and I'll keep the President's Cup theme rolling, and that's with the last President's Cup hero, Bill Haas, who came through in just clutch fashion in South Korea. I think I was the only person watching on TV, but it really did happen. He won for his dad, who was the captain, Jay Haas. It was a really emotional moment for the U.S., and he needs to get to work if he's going to get back on that team. I know he's played on the President's Cup a few times, but, you know, he's had a okay season, a couple nice finishes, a lot of top 20s, similar to Leishman. I think he's got about eight top 20s and 14 starts, but only two top 10s. Now, one of them was that third place at the World Match Play, which gave him a big boost, but he's going to have at least one more big tournament. I think this is a good spot for him. Couple T10s in the last 3 years, sorry, top 10s in the last 3 years, and he's coming off a T12 at Colonial, which actually I really didn't think suited his game all that well. So he's playing pretty well. He knows he's got to get it going if he wants to make it back on that team, and I'm looking for Bill Haas to have a big week this week.
Yeah, if you look at his, you know, favorite metrics, they do say that he should be better than the box score say, so there is that hope.
Mm-hmm.
However, historically, the summer has not been that kind to Haas, so he really does need to get to gear, especially if he does want to be playing playing on that team. But yeah, I don't think we're in the panic mode just yet, but we do need to see starts a top five, and if anything, a run at a trophy here in the next maybe month or so.
All right, who's your last pick?
Last guy for me is I feel embarrassed because you'd think a surefire, but Adam Scott hasn't played here the past couple of years, but he does have a top 15 in 2013 and a top five finish in 2014. Has played well this year after kind of quietly going under the radar. Finished sixth of the players. I know that he was the guy that people were looking to make a Sunday charge.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't quite happen, but I mean, T6 of the players is still getting it done. Not exactly hitting his irons great this year, but not awful either. I think this is what we saw with the players. He was finally starting to get that back on track a little bit. Ranks top 20 in birdies or better, which is something that if you've seen the last 4 or 5 years, guys do go low here. I think William McGirt was 15 under last year as a winning score, so not exactly, not a U.S. Open venue by any means in terms of scoring. So Scott's a guy who, just by his nature, I don't think we appreciate or realize that Scott's this top 10 talent that he is,
mm-hmm.
just because maybe he doesn't play as much as some other guys, but he's a guy that outside of the Dustin Johnson and John Rahm, he's the guy who I think has as good as bet as anybody to win this week.
Yeah, and it's funny you just mentioned Dustin Johnson and John Rahm. I wanted to say I think we're both in agreement here that those two guys have reached a level of you could play them every week and not miss a beat. I mean, they might be the top two guys if you know week in, week out, who you would pick. That's just how good and consistent they've been. Obviously, Dustin on another level even than Rahm, but again, another runner-up for Rahm last week. He's been in the top three in more than a third of his career PGA Tour events. So just an amazing start to his year. But, yeah, Scott.
I mean, that he's doing it on so many different venues.
Yeah.
So it's not that these are all big power courses. Colonial is about the shortest court, one of the shortest courses on the tour, and really demands precision and accuracy. And the fact that he was still able to do that at his first time there, it's mind-blowing. And it really makes you wonder what's ahead for this guy.
Well, right. All these places, it's the first time he's been there. And you kind of expect him to have some of these, rookie inexperience to get over, but it doesn't seem to affect him. So I know at this point it's almost gets boring to mention him and DJ in these podcasts. I think we're kind of waiting kind of on the majors to kind of focus on them. But yeah, but Scott, certainly at the Players every day, it seemed like his name would pop up there on the leaderboard and then he'd kind of fall off. And you're right. It's the fact that he doesn't play that much. And you know, these guys can all go spans with not winning. Obviously he had those back-to-back wins last year, but since then he hasn't won. And when you couple that with such a sporadic playing schedule, you do kind of forget about him. But you're right. I mean, on a week-in, week-out basis, if you're going to pick a guy to finish in the top 10, he's right up there with anybody. So certainly a solid pick there. All right. Well, Joel, I'll let you get back to enjoying Kiowa. I know you got a nice lunch planned. Maybe another round of golf? Or what's on the agenda?
My fiance just looked at me as if I try to break the golf clubs out again, the ring might be coming off. So that, unfortunately, is probably doing that. But
that's not happening.
No, we're about to go grab some lunch. And sorry for leaving you guys. Yesterday was one of my first days ever without checking the phone.
I
saw the Tiger news. That was interesting. So thanks for holding the fort down. Looking forward to seeing you guys in a couple days.
You got it. Yeah, it was pretty crazy. But all right, man. Well, yeah, good move. Keep the golf clubs away. Enjoy the lunch. We'll talk soon. Talk to you later. All right. And to everybody else, thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe to us on iTunes if you haven't done so already, and check back next week.